The Rancor Monster's hungry again. Let's feed him.
Don't do it.
Luke Skywalker, Gamorrean Guard, new Rancor Monster and Rancor Keeper action figures, each sold separately.
You'll regret this.
Willie gets his claws into a Jedi Knight.
Whoa, some jaws. This is my only chance.
He's wounded. We better get in there.
We'll never get out alive, Gamorrean Guard.
New Rancor Monster. Action figures each sold separately. From Kenner's Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
Welcome, everyone, from across the universe to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Star Wars is for everyone. So pull up a chair, get comfortable, and join the conversation with your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I am your host for this evening's, afternoon's, or morning's episode, Carl LeClaire, and I'm joined by first-time guest and incredible vintage collector, Natalie from Instagram, The Empire Strikes Nat. Natalie, so happy to have you with us.
I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I have been, like, fiendishly taking in the incredible posts you post, like, every day with this incredibly large and building, growing vintage collection of yours. And I was just like, man, I really want to have a conversation with her about how you got into it, about where it comes from, because you are certainly not a child of the vintage era. So I am so fascinated to learn more about what got you into all of this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was definitely not born in the era. Very jealous of everybody that was, but here I am collecting everything from that time period.
It's like, have you ever been to Rancho Obi-Wan, Natalie?
I haven't. That is definitely on my bucket list. That is something that I really hope to do, especially sometime soon.
Yeah, it's Jason and I have been fortunate enough to go twice now. And it is just such a treasure trove. And Steve Sansweet, I mean, I'm so glad that Sweet is built into his name because he is the sweetest, kindest person. Whenever I, you know, interact with collectors like yourself, because I don't consider myself a collector. I mean, I certainly have a collection, but I feel like you're like capital C collector. And whenever I meet folks, I'm like, oh, you got to get to Rancho, because it is a collector's, you know, paradise.
Absolutely. I've seen like clips on Instagram. I've seen like short documentaries on it, and it is just mind-blowing and also like my heaven. Like, I would just wish I could spend just hours in there.
Yeah, me too. but Natalie, before we get into kind of our conversation around your collection itself, I always have a series of questions I love to ask a new guest on the show. And they're some of my favorite questions to ask any new friend I encounter in the world of Star Wars. And my first one, of course, is what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
My favorite Star Wars movie is without a doubt, A New Hope.
Oh my goodness. It's just ringing true for why you're a vintage collector.
A New Hope has such a special place in my heart, and it will always remain number one. But, I love Return of the Jedi too, specifically because of Jabba the Hutt.
Wow. Say more about that.
Oh my gosh. So Jabba the Hutt, Jabba's Palace, Salacious B. Crumbs, Miss Thighs Noodles, the Max Rebo Band as a whole, they are like my bread and butter. I have loved Crumbs since I was like, oh gosh, like 4 years old, because little short story, my brother was like 7 years old and ordered the complete Jabba the Hutt, like vintage set off of eBay. And so we go to the post office and all he wanted was little Crumbs in the bag. And Crumbs kind of just traveled through like my dollhouses with my stuffed animals, with like my Legos. And he remains one of my favorite characters. So Return of the Jedi has such a special place in my heart and always will.
I love that. And I do feel like you have shared with me before your large love for Salacious Crumb. And I remember when you said that to me not that long ago, but I was like, oh, this is kind of like when I first met Jason all those years ago at a Star Wars fan days. And he told me that Return of the Jedi was his favorite, but right behind it was Attack of the Clones. He was the first person I ever met who loved Attack of the Clones that much. And I was immediately like, ooh, I like you. You're different. I love that. And when you said Salacious Crumb, I was like, ooh, I'd have never heard that before. I like that.
Yes, he is like so much my favorite that he now permanently sits on my shoulder. He's part of my sleeve. So he is definitely near and dear to my heart.
If Jason was here, I'm sure he would do a great impression of him, but I will not do that. So
I can't. I have not mastered that, but I love when people do.
Well, I love that. I love that. And I mean, in a nutshell, was it about A New Hope beyond the fact that obviously that it is the very launching of this beloved franchise? But what is it about A New Hope for you personally that speaks to you so much?
Yeah. So Star Wars has, as a whole, has been around my whole life. I mean, it has been always a constant, all thanks to my dad. My dad introduced me to everything I love and know about Star Wars, and we have just this such bond over it. I mean, he taught me from when I was so young that Tatooine will always be home, and just to always look to the binary sunset. And every time I hear that theme, I get so emotional, and my dad does too, just because it means so much to us. It's so sentimental and so nostalgic for him. And he just passed that on to me, and I will have him to thank forever for that. You know, he started my whole passion and everything that I love about Star Wars as a whole, but especially A New Hope. Like anything Tatooine, I am just, it has such a place in my collection and my heart.
I love that. Have you ever been to any of the like desert locations for the movies?
I haven't, but I've seen pictures like on Instagram, and I so badly want to go there and drink blue milk where Luke did and just kind of look to the sunset myself, because like I can't even explain how much it means to me.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's definitely a bucket list item for myself as well. I've never been there.
Yeah.
Either. I mean, I also think that where the actual Lars homestead is, I know for a while it was overrun by a terrorist group. So I don't know that now is the best time to go. But a lot of the reshoot locations are in Death Valley here in the States. So that's at least much more doable, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I love that. I love that connection that you have with your father through it as well. What a gift to be able to share that together. I love it.
Absolutely.
So my next question then is, who is your favorite Star Wars character?
My favorite Star Wars character is Darth Vader, but because I also grew up watching Revenge of the Sith and how heartbreaking that movie is and who Anakin was and how he turned and turned into Darth Vader and the dark side that grew inside of him, Vader remains my favorite.
I love that. Yeah, well, and he's a father figure, so, you know, you got a good one, even if, I guess Darth does, I mean, once Darth learns he's a father, it doesn't take him long to step up to the plate, if we're being honest, right?
So. Exactly. That's kind of also why I love Return of the Jedi, is because you see Darth Vader turn when he sees Luke himself without the helmet, and, oh my gosh, the end of Return of the Jedi, when all three Force ghosts are standing there, and it's Anakin, I bawl like a baby, of course, because that's just, you know, the values that all the movies revolve around is family and, you know, who's there for you like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, and then my final get to know you Wampa's Lair question is, what is your favorite piece of Star Wars music?
It is The Binary Sunset, without a doubt. It is the best, but The Imperial March is pretty close.
Okay. All right. Yeah. When you were telling your story about your love of Tatooine and you mentioned how much that music moves you, I had a suspicion right there. I was like, I feel like I'm going to know the answer to this question, but.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, you know, what's so funny is when we made our lightsabers on Batuu in Galaxy's Edge, and when the Binary Sunset theme kind of plays, when Yoda talks over, it's like, I just want to sit there and cry, because I'm like, I need to take this in, because everything felt so real. Like when you hear that song, it just, it makes everything feel so much real, so much more real.
It really does. Yeah. And I love that it's what a balanced person, what a balanced fan you are, in the sense that, you know, the beautiful theme of the Force in its first full statement, coupled with the March of Tyrannical Empire.
It's so funny you say that because I am such a ride or die dark side. And my dad and I just like kid about it all the time. He is so, you know, with the Jedi, with the rebels. And here I am like dark side everything. So absolutely.
That's incredible. I love it. All right. Well, let's get into this. So the first big question I have is, how did this all come about, Natalie? How did you get into collecting vintage Star Wars?
Yeah, so that also kind of roots from, you know, me and my dad kind of bonding and everything, going to conventions, going to Galaxy's Edge. So I was just going to one of our local collectible stores, and I don't really collect like Black Series or anything that's really modern, but I was just putzing around the store and I noticed that there were like Return of the Jedi coloring books and like activity books from, you know, like 1983 and everything. And then there were the original issues, like the releases of the books, like the Star Wars the Star Wars novels from the Delray printing, and they were sealed. And I'm like, this is so freaking cool. This is like a piece of Star Wars history. And then I came home and, you know, I showed my dad and he's like, you know, I had these as a kid. And so like that kind of sparked like that nostalgic, like full circle moment. Like my dad was a teen going to see these movies and the excitement, and he had these toys with his brothers and he used like the stationery and the notebooks and played with all of these action figures. So like to like find all of that stuff in the wilds or, you know, online or something, and it's like a piece of history. I mean, these things are 40 plus years old and a lot of them have held up, but it's so cool to have something that's from the actual time period and that, you know, my dad and my uncles actually had as a kid. It's crazy cool.
That is so cool. And so to that end, did your dad have anything still have anything himself that he imparted to you, or had he kind of grown out of it long ago and you know, gave it to a new home?
He did grow out of it and gave it to a new home, but my godfather actually collects like a lot of figures and just really cool like busts and just very cool, hard to find items. And he's given me some of his, which are so meaningful to me. And I've got to add those to my collection.
That's awesome. I love that. And was that, again, so incredible that so much of your passion for Star Wars grows out of this relationship with your dad. That's really, really lovely.
Absolutely. I mean, we've taken trips to Batuu. We went on the Star Cruiser twice. We go to flea markets looking for vintage stuff. We go to C2E2 here, Fan Expo, anything that we can do to kind of like immerse ourselves in the Star Wars universe, we are there.
I love it. Real quick to go into that with the going to like thrift stores or flea markets and whatnot. I'm sure you're familiar with Silver, who is Star Wars thrifting.
Yes. My gosh. Yeah,
she is now. I mean, I hold her up as an icon of Star Wars fandom. She's just wonderful.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I just fawn over the things that she finds in her posts.
I know. It's like she puts Indiana Jones to shame, like with what she's able to find. I love it. And also just such a kind person, you know, reminder of the best of our community. But to that end, I'm curious if you yourself have had any luck at flea markets, thrift stores and stuff like that. Have you found some little treasures yourself?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. The thrill of the hunt is probably my favorite thing, because at a flea market, you know, there's a bunch of junk, but to dig through all of that and then to find like a little piece of like you recognize that it's like vintage Star Wars, like your heart starts racing. You're like, oh, my God, this is just so freaking cool. But we went to a couple flea markets before the season ended last year, and I found like in a bin of like old like doll pieces and doll clothes was Leia's poncho from Return of the Jedi. And I'm like, this is so cool. And this is going on my figure at home. And then I found, let's see what else. I found a Vader. I found Yoda. Just little pieces, not complete, not the best quality, but it's all about the fun of it and the experience of finding it. I haven't found like a holy grail, like someone doesn't know what it's worth and I scored it for a great deal at a flea market, but hopefully that is to come in the future.
I love it. I love the way you describe that feeling too, that excitement though, of just as you're probably approaching a table or something, you just see an old vintage, you know, folder or toy, whatever, like that.
Yes.
That excitement. I mean, that's the excitement I remember is like a kid of the mid-90s going to buy the Power of the Force 2 lines at, you know, Toys R Us, KB Toys, all those things, as you like walked into that aisle and just saw all of those action figures hanging on those pegs, just the way your heart like quickened. It was, I mean, it's better than any first date. Like, it's so good. So
it is so good. And it's so funny because we would just, you know, walk around the flea markets and stuff. And then there'd be a table that looked like you would have something. I'm like, Dad, we got to go. And, you know, we run over there and, you know, just like rummage through everything. And then you see like the little Star Wars logo or like the little Kenner. And I'm like, oh my God, this is just so, so fun. Like, that is like my favorite thing to do.
I love it. So I'm curious then, what is it about like these vintage Kenner pieces that attracts you so much?
I love that they're not like exactly perfect, like how some of the Hot Toys are today or the Black Series. Like, Hasbro's gotten really good at making things look like they're practically like a picture, like an actual like perfect replica of it. But these vintage figures, like, Hammerhead's wearing like a blue leotard in his figure. And it's like, what made them choose that? But also, like, I love that because they did what they could. Kenner like just kind of simplified things. And, you know, there's like the blasters. Like, I have Han's blaster and it makes such like a trilling, silly noise, but that's just how it was. And they're just, they're loved for how they were, and not because they were perfect, but they were because it was it was what they produced during when Star Wars was huge and still so loved.
I love that answer. I've never heard that before.
I just love how they're not perfect. You know, they're just of what that time period was. And I'm just looking at a few of mine right now. Like, some of the lightsabers are yellow, like Luke's holding a yellow lightsaber, and they're just not exactly perfect from the movies, but everybody recognizes and knows who they are.
Yeah, that is so true. I'm curious, like, when you first started collecting, was it with that specific intentionality of like, oh, I'm just going to do vintage Kenner, or does your collection expand beyond that? Or is it really focused more so on the Kenner era?
So lately it's been Kenner just because it's hard to find it. So that's kind of like what all my time is, just trying to find stuff, track stuff down. But I do have a whole other side of my collection that's not Kenner. I mean, I collect not all of them, but some of the limited edition lightsaber boxes. I'm huge into the lightsabers, the legacy sabers. I do Star Wars Legos. I do some of the Black Series helmets. I have a ton of stuff from Galaxy's Edge. I mean, that's a huge part of my collection, is taking stuff home, smuggling stuff from Batu. But I also love Star Wars novels. I have a whole bookshelf of just books I haven't read yet, but I can't help myself from buying more.
They do look good on a shelf, and yes, they'll always be there waiting for you.
Exactly.
I love that. So when did it feel like the bug caught you, right? Because it's been really, really incredible watching your Instagram page, and just, you know, more and more you're becoming more and more active with what you share. It's all such incredible stuff. So when was it that you knew, like, oh yeah, this is kind of my thing now?
Yeah, so it was actually after I started to join like Facebook groups, because I started to my local stores by me, my local collectible stores don't always have a ton. So that's when I kind of chose to go online and go on Facebook groups, see if I can find anything online. And these communities are so freaking nice, and people are just so kind and willing to help me build my collection. So honestly, the community of people have really sparked like all these additions to my collection. I've made really, really great friends, and especially on Instagram. And it just kind of spiraled in the best way possible.
I love that. I love that because it's such an important reminder to the fan community too, and everybody listening right now, that, right, there's obviously a lot of toxic fans out there, but I still hold that they are the minority. They're loud, but they are the minority. And it's so wonderful to hear that it's become this communal experience for you. That's really what it's all about.
It is. And Kenner Hunter has been such a great supporter. He has been like hyping all of my posts up and stuff, and kind of just gave me that extra push to go on Instagram and kind of showcase everything. Because at first I would just do it maybe if like I bought a new figure or a new vehicle or something. But I really appreciate his support during it.
That's awesome. He's kind of like your Ben Kenobi then, perhaps.
Ben Kenobi of Kenner. Absolutely.
Well, you know, you indicated that obviously you enjoy kind of the hunt of these items. I'm curious if you have, like, what is your typical way of finding things? And if you have a particular favorite memory or story around something you have found?
Yeah. So specifically for Kenner, like I said, I go on those Facebook groups a lot, but I also always check Facebook Marketplace. And it's so funny that during this podcast today, I actually sent my boyfriend to a town over to pick up a extremely good deal. So I always have something in the works, but that was a really funny one today. I was like, I'm busy, but can you go get this deal? And it was just a swanky, great deal. So that was just kind of like something's always in the works for me collecting. But I have to say that I do a lot of auctions online through like Facebook groups and like claim sales and everything. And people just are selling parts of their collection for really, really great deals. And, you know, I was even on a claim sale one time and I claimed the Ewok battle wagon, and it's a pretty expensive piece, but I was so excited that it was on there, but it was missing one piece. And this really kind guy knew that I really wanted this battle wagon and I claimed it. And he's like, I will buy the missing piece, the drum, for you and send it to you. And he did, which was so freaking nice. Nobody had to do that. I mean, even the missing drum piece was so expensive, but he knew how badly I wanted that and it complete. And he went out of his way for me. So definitely that community is just always willing to help people. And that was just such an unexpected great memory.
Love that. Yeah, that's incredible, you know, and clearly somebody who recognizes, you know, the adventure you're on and wants to help you complete it, if you will.
Yes. I wish there were more places for me to go in person, but where I am in the Midwest, it's pretty uneventful here. There's not a lot of, you know, crazy good scores hiding out. I try like local thrift stores and stuff, but no luck. But hopefully when the flea markets open back up, I will find a crazy one this summer.
I love it. Now, I'm curious because, you know, in the photos and the posts that you make, it's pretty evident that you have a dedicated Star Wars space in your home, I'm guessing. I'm curious how you've chosen to set that up.
Yeah, so for my Kenner stuff, I kind of do it by movies almost. I love to set up scenes. I have a Tatooine scene, a Hoth scene, but then it kind of just goes into, you know, like Jabba's palace, and I have Return of the Jedi figures. So my Kenner ones are very specific. It takes me, honestly, a pretty long time to get everything the way I want it when I add a new piece. But for everything else, I have like a droid shelf with everything from Galaxy's Edge. I have my AT-AT set up, and then I kind of have more like memorabilia, I guess. I have like my Anthony Daniels signature and just pictures like that. I have my Legos all together. So I'm very particular about it. And it's not just throw something on the shelf. I'm like, I have to sit down and think about how this is going to fit into my collection.
Ugh, I love that. That was the first time we went to Rancho, Steve Sansweet comes out at the end of the tours and obviously takes any questions. And my question to him was, you know, what is your advice to folks who don't have, you know, a 6,000 square foot chicken farm to display mm-hmm. their collection? How would you, you know, recommend folks set things up? And I still take his advice how I set up my own spaces. He said, well, he goes, you know, the one thing you can obviously do is make scenes, right? You set up particular scenes that you love from the movies and the stories. He said, also, you could display what are the items that got you into Star Wars, things like that. He goes, play with it, take things down, put things back up. So it's so awesome that you have such a meticulous, ordered way of doing this. When you get a new item to your collection, does that do you then go into that space of like, oh, now I get to rethink my whole space? Does that excite you? Does it give you anxiety? How do you move forward with all your new pieces?
It excites me. And it's so funny because my boyfriend be like, you don't have space for that. I'm like, there is always space. Like I always make stuff work. And every single time he's like, I don't know how you did it. But I get really excited because that means that things get to move around a little bit and maybe something that's been a little in the back gets to be brought up. Or I also have a tub in my closet full of stuff that just isn't on display because I just don't have enough room. So I think the excitement of moving stuff around and just seeing it look a little different is also really exciting. I will always make something work, though. I will never, ever skip on a good deal or a good find.
Spoken like a true collector right there. do you have like a process or anything for when you are setting up the space? Do you get into a certain mindset? Do you, you know, put on music? Do you put in a movie? What is there any particular mode of creating and recreating that space?
Yeah, of course. I have my TV like smack dab in the middle of two of my cabinets, and I always put on Star Wars when I, you know, get into that mindset, and I kind of just set time aside on a day where I know I'm not busy because I enjoy it so much. I love to just kind of really, it's like playing like Tetris or something, honestly, because one small move, everything is just going to fall. Like all the figures are just going to fall on their side. So I get really excited that when I have time to do that, and I take my time and I enjoy every moment of it. And I think that it's really exciting when I get a new box because the box is kind of like complete, like my whole little scenes and everything. It kind of brings everything like to life a little more. So I just definitely get in my own zone. It's like nothing else. I don't really think about anything else. It's a really great way just to unplug from everything.
I love it. Are you an opener? Do you like to keep things in the packages if you can? Do you like do a little bit of both and? Where do you land in that camp?
So everything vintage that I buy, if it's sealed, I will never, ever open it. Hmm. But with everything else, like from Galaxy's Edge, I open it. I really do because they are just so, like, they're perfect from like on screen, and I want my room to look like Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities. That's basically it.
Maybe your own Doc Ondar can just have that, you know, that blue piece that the Kenner figure has, you know, that's all he'll be wearing. So do you have right now, is there any particular like wish list item that you're currently hunting?
I do. And it is a very hard to find one and pretty expensive one, but it is the remote control Sandcrawler, and I've only seen one in person ever, and I very rarely see them floating around on my Facebook groups, but that is something that, like, holy grail, like if I ever saw it just somewhere, you know, for any deal at this point, I would just snag it because that one is just such a cool one that I want part of my collection so badly.
That's so cool. Well, and then my kind of a similar question then is, what is the one item you have found that has most surprised you or excited you?
So this is really interesting. The local collectible shop that is nearby that sometimes does get stuff called me up one day and was like, you know, we have these Kenner shipment boxes, you know, what they would send to Kmart back in the day, back in 77 or so. And I was like, of course I'll take them. They're like, okay, like $60, $50 for each one of them. I'm like, easy peasy. They're going in my closet. They're 40-year-old cardboard. They needed to be somewhere safe. So I get to the store and they're like, we looked up the value of these boxes and one of them's worth like $300-$400 and the other being like $1,000. And they sold them to me for the prices that they told me, but they're like, you have such an insane deal on your hands, and it's literally just like just shipping boxes, but it's so cool because it's like if you were to walk into Target right now and see like the boxes that they restock the shelves, it's exactly that, but it's from back in the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like such a great surprise, but also that same day I walked in, they're like, hey, we have a carded Jawa here in a complete Jabba the Hutt set with pristine instructions. I'm like, I'll take it all. Let me go open my trunk. Like, this is the best day.
That's amazing. Do you have a most prized prized item in your collection?
That's a really, really good question. So I love everything, all parts of my collection. And I go back and forth on this question because the things that I love the most hold the most sentimental value to me. But oh gosh, honestly, it'd probably be Little Crumbs that sits on Jabba's throne because he's everything. And I have like five or six of them. I've gotten to the point where if I see a crumb, I buy a crumb. But a second runner-upper might be my autographed Anthony Daniels picture and picture. And then we took an normal picture with him at Fan Expo a few years ago, me and my dad. And that was just a moment of, did that just really happen? Like, I walked up to Anthony Daniels and I said, do you speak bocce? And he just went off, like, all lines perfectly said. I'm like, I feel like I'm in a dream right now. And I was teary-eyed, emotional after. And I looked at my dad. I'm like, I can't believe that just happened. So I look at those pictures. I'm like, that did happen. And it was one of the best days. And I love it so much.
That's amazing. So I'm curious if, you know, with this vintage aspect of your collecting, and obviously the vintage things becoming more and more rare, becoming more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Does that add to the excitement because of the fact that they are kind of this sacred part of, you know, the Star Wars history?
Yes, absolutely. Especially because it's so easy to go to like a GameStop or a Target right now, buy a Black Series off the peg, or just kind of buy something that's really easily able, you're easily able to get it. But to look high and low for this stuff is so fun and so cool, because a lot of the buyers that I buy from are like, you know, this was mine and I just am getting rid of it. And that's just even more part of the piece of history that, like, this, like, you know, went through time 40 years ago and this person's just now selling it and it's the actual owner of it. But I love finding stuff that is extra rare because it's like, how the heck did this survive 40 years? Like, someone really cared about this.
That's amazing. And what a like sense of personal connection then, right, with that person who's selling you a piece of their own past.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Or just someone that's really educated on it, knows variations and stuff. Like, there are so many variations of certain figures, or just, you know, there's box like vehicles and playsets that were released in other countries, like Palatoy and stuff that was released in Canada. Like, there's just so much, and it's all pretty rare because you can't really go to a store and just pick it up and buy it. And that's all the fun in it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, and then so with your immense love of Salacious B. Crumb, it makes sense that that is your favorite vintage figure. But I also want to know, I'd love to know what your favorite vintage. Wow. Why am I blanking on words right now? Like your favorite vintage ship or, you know, vehicle. There we go. And do you have a favorite vintage playset? Right. There, playsets were a big part of the Kenner era,
yeah,
you know, of Star Wars. That those still existed with the Power of the Force line, but they kind of faded away after Phantom Menace, really. But that was a huge part of the vintage era. So I'm curious if you have a favorite playset and to go with that, like a favorite vehicle or ship.
It's so awesome you say that, because I prefer, like, I would choose a playset or vehicle over figures because they're just like not made anymore. You can't really buy like a playset from like the newer movies or the prequels or even the original trilogy. So I love that question. And my favorite vehicle is the Imperial Shuttle. It is just, it's huge. It's so detailed and it's functional. I mean, the wings go up and down just like they would, you know, for Palpatine and Vader. And it's just, the box is so freaking cool. I mean, me being dark side, kind of a partial answer, but that's definitely my vehicle. And then for my playset, that's a really good question. I love the Creature Cantina because being a New Hope Tatooine, but it's so cool because it has the cardboard backdrop to it with all the cantina creatures, and that's just so iconic. Everyone in there like is just so freaky, so wonky, and I can't get enough of all of the creatures in there, especially Hammerhead. He's a close second for one of my favorite characters.
I love that. And so with the play sets, when you're displaying those, and again, I sounds like obviously if you get any that are in package and whatnot, that's where they stay, but for the ones that are opened or out on display, do you like to inhabit those play sets with the figures that tell the story?
Yeah, I have one of the Land of the Jawas, so it's like the sand of Tatooine, and that's kind of the base of my Tatooine scene. I have Luke's land speeder, couple droids, gonk droid, Jawas, and then there's also the Hoth action playset with my Imperial probe droid, and Tauntauns are around it. We, of course, got a Wampa there. Yeah. So I like when I find those, because that then I can display everything that I have loose.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, and I remember watching this. I was watching a documentary not too long ago. Of course, I'm going to blank on what the heck it was called, but it was around like toy, you know, vintage toy collecting from the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And they were talking a lot about how important playsets were, because it gave you this ability to display things and also a world to inhabit with the toys itself. So that's so cool that that's literally what you're doing.
Yes. And I think that it kind of brings my whole collection together, because I have things that are loose and also boxed. So I put them together in like the same shelf. So it kind of just pulls everything together very well.
Yeah. I love that the Imperial shuttle is your favorite vehicle. That is one of the coolest ships in Star Wars, I would argue. It's an older ship, but it checks out. You know, you mentioned that you have the box for it as well. Do you have the box displayed like kind of right next to it? Is that how it kind of works?
So the Imperial shuttle was one that I cleaned up. I bought it from, we actually went out of state for it. So I brought it home, cleaned it up, and it remains in its box, but my box is on display. Nice. And on the box, it has the Emperor's Royal Guards lined up with the Stormtroopers. And I kind of tried to, not as with many, there's so many on there, but I tried to recreate that in front of the box. But the ship definitely stays in there, because I'm so worried about sun damage too. I just don't want anything to be ever damaged.
Sure. I love that though, how you have the guards outside though, keeping it safe.
Yes, great. Absolutely. And then I have Palpatine in front of it. Yeah. So I have a theme with everything, and yeah.
I love it. So kind of one of my final questions then is, for anybody else who's kind of new to collecting, or whether that's specific to also vintage collecting or just collecting in general, what would be some of your own advice from your own experience doing this stuff?
Absolutely. I would suggest that you just collect what you love, what you feel that spark and that excitement for, because there are people online that just solely want to collect to complete their whole set. You know, even if they don't like the figure, they're still going to add it to their collection just so it's complete, or it's not the best quality, so they're going to pass up on it. But if you love that character, that figure, that vehicle, anything that you feel that spark of excitement and passion for, add it to your collection. It doesn't matter how much it's worth or what the value is or the rarity of it. If it makes you happy, buy a million of them. I mean, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's what you feel so attached to and happy about. That's what your collection should revolve around.
Great advice. I love it. Well, then I got, okay. So my final question then for you, growing out of your response there, that was so well put, what is the piece or pieces? It doesn't have to be just one thing, but what are the things when you walk into that Star Wars space that you've created? What are the things that your eye is typically drawn to that makes you feel like, yeah, this is home base for me, right? What are those item or items in your own collection that, you know, elicit that response for you?
Yeah, so I have my Atta all the way on top of one of my shelves, and it's kind of looking down, and it has, you know, the chicken walker, the Tauntauns, and it's kind of like a centerpiece of my collection. And I see that, and it's like, that is just so freaking cool. Like, that was made how many years ago, and look how cool it still looks. And it's huge. And I think that, like, it's just so cool that something like that exists and it's a part of my collection. But I think definitely my AT-AT, and I have my Death Star box, and it's so bright and still so crisp. So when I see that, I'm like, that is such a cool find that I found that and I have that piece part of my collection. My dad had that one as a kid. He's like, I remember opening that on Christmas. So it's definitely really cool.
I love that. Now, excuse my ignorance, but when you say your Death Star box, is that like the Death Star playset or...
Yes, definitely. Okay. The Death Star playset with the dino gun, everything. It's such a cool one, but it's such a, like I was talking about earlier, it's not exact to the Death Star. It's not the circle that we all think of. It's just a piece of it, like a pie piece of it. So it doesn't look like the Death Star, but all the kids played with it like it was. And the trash compactor and everything's in there.
Love it. And then is that the one that has in the trash compactor, didn't have like little foam pieces?
Oh yes, the foam that has basically crumbled into nothing. Sure. I have a little baggie of it, and it's like safely stored in the box where nothing can touch it or damage it any further.
Yeah, that's impressive if you still have any bits of it.
Honestly, how could something like that survive? I don't know, but I love it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I love this. You posted this photo not too long ago, but kind of you in the midst of your collection, which for those of you listening, this will be the cover art for this episode. Is it's this great photo of you, Natalie, in the midst of your collection. And I love that the AT-AT is front and center. So it makes sense that he kind of reigns supreme over the collection.
He does. He kind of looks down on everything. So I have multiple of them. So they're definitely one of my favorites and are up there, but he kind of just looks down on everything, which is really cool.
Like a benevolent walker.
Exactly. Doing what he's meant to do.
You know, that is actually one of the few items that I still really want that I've never had. And I never had this as a kid, but it was just the Power of the Force line, AT-AT. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool because like the, you know, that Power of the Force 2 line that started in 95 and, you know, really ran through really the creation of the Phantom Menace. Almost all of those vehicles, if not all of those vehicles, were using the exact same sculpts and molds as the vintage line.
Yes, yes.
So every time I'm in a toy store and I see an AT-AT in there, actually, when I was just out visiting Jason in Phoenix at the start of the month, there was one at the local collection store in Phoenix. And I was like, oh, I really want it. But I was like, that's not going to fit in my carry-on bag. So
ship it home. I should have.
It was definitely a little overpriced. So that was another dissuader because it's like, okay, yeah. I know kind of the general sensibility of what these go for. And that was a bit mm-hmm. much. So I was like, I'll wait till I don't have to also worry about shipping it. But
yeah, that's something I run into too, is if you go to like the smaller stores and their prices are just really high. So I think that just like knowing the ballpark for something is really important too.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, I don't mean to imply like I'm not throwing shade at that shop or whatever. You charge what you want to charge, you know, it's and hopefully somebody Absolutely. Will pay it. I'm not that someone. So
exactly.
But Natalie, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate you making time to come on it and talk about your collecting in general and your collection in particular. This has just been such a delight.
Oh my gosh, this has been literally the funnest afternoon, and I'm so thankful that you had me on here today. So thank you so much for inviting me and hosting me today. It has been wonderful.
Yeah, it's the pleasure is all mine, and I'm sure all of those listening. But Natalie, if folks want to, you know, keep in touch with, you know, your collection, see all the things that you're always displaying and taking photos of, how can folks get involved in the world of Natalie's collecting?
Yeah, of course. I'm on Instagram. My name is The Empire Strikes Nat, with periods in between each word. And I am just so thankful for everything today. Thank you so much, Carl.
Yeah, you're welcome so much. This was absolutely wonderful. So thank you all for tuning into this special episode of the Wampas Lair podcast, all about vintage collecting. I am, like I said, your host, Carl. And on behalf of Natalie, Jason's Force Ghost, thank you for being here for this episode of the Wampas Lair.